Working with Compassion International has helped Greystone Church reach our mission of knowing God and making God known. The purpose of Compassion is to release children from poverty in the name of Jesus. Compassion accomplishes this through connecting with churches in the U.S. and churches in poverty-stricken communities around the world. 8 years ago, we hosted a Compassion Sunday at Greystone Church, and we gave our members the opportunity to sponsor children living in poverty, and we partnered with a church in Juticalpa, Honduras. Over the last 8 years, we have sponsored over 1,100 children. As you can imagine, we've been able to impact those kids and their families in the name of Jesus. But what we didn't realize is how we would impact our families at Greystone Church. As some of you know, when you go on a mission trip to a foreign country, the trip ends up impacting you as much or more than those in the foreign country. This is what we've experienced with Compassion. Our families are living on mission because they are participating in the Great Commission and seeing lives change for all eternity. If you and your church would like to partner with Compassion International, I highly recommend hosting a Compassion Sunday at your church. To find out more about hosting a Compassion Sunday, go to compassion.com/family goals. Again, you can find out more information at compassion.com/family goals.
All right, this week's scripture is Acts 20:35. It's, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive."
We're so grateful for the Tony Financial Services providing a scripture for us each week, and we appreciate just their partnership. And their financial services are a trusted wealth management firm. They specialize in biblical financial principles and good, faithful stewardship. They're proud members of the Kingdom Advisory Network, which is a super high standard. And we just appreciate their faith-based stewardship. Welcome to another episode of the Family Goals Podcast with David Pollack and Pastor Jay. Today is part two. We're talking about parenting teenagers, dating relationships.
We're going to, and listen, it's not just, you know, it's hard because it is, but the tangible takeaways that you can implement as your kid starts to date to make you a better parent and to help them succeed.
So I had a couple of discussion questions I sent you about teen dating. I thought I would read the question and then we can just dive in and talk about it. The first one is, how can parents guide their teens to prioritize character and shared faith over physical attraction when it comes to choosing a dating partner?
Okay. So what have you seen in this?
Well, I mean, naturally, the boy is going to be attracted to the hot girl, right?
But I would think, like, what are the things in your household? This is how I would answer that. Mm-hmm. What are the things in your household that you've talked about and you've really put a premium on when it comes to a spouse, with your mother, with your father, and like with the relationship and the marriage that is in the household, mm-hmm. how you talk about other people? What are the most important things? If we're always talking about outside features, they're going to talk about outside features. But if we're talking about faith and kindness and humility and stuff mm-hmm. like that, I think we're showing them over and over and over again what the most important thing. I don't think that means that will be the most important thing to them. Like, this is 100%, like, how do you treat people on a day in and day out basis? Like, how do you value them? How do you talk about them? What kind of relationships do you have? Like, those are all things that I think will go a long way in them going, okay, that's what good character looks like. That's the qualities that I'm looking for. That's the way my parents talk to each other. They got a great marriage. That's the people we hang out with. We don't hang out with people that are the other way, that are just, oh my gosh, look at that. Look at this. Look at that. Don't bring those kind of things up. I don't think those are things you need to bring up.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a given for us because we talk about it all the time, but you want to date someone who's a Christian. You want to date someone who has faith. You want to date someone who is involved in the local church, you know. But I think, to your point, you want to date someone who's beautiful on the inside, like that character and integrity and all the things that you mentioned there. Of course, you're going to date someone you're attracted to, because, I mean, you have to be attracted to somebody on the outside, but hopefully you're attracted to them on the inside as well.
Yeah.
It's not just on the outside. So Another question is, what practical boundaries should teens set to honor God in their dating relationships? And we talked about this, managing time alone, but also physical affection.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have pretty good rules with this, because me and Lindsay have talked about this, and obviously there will be no doors that are closed.
They're not up in the bedroom.
Up in the bedroom by themselves. Mm-hmm. Again, that just leads to that. There's nothing good that leads to that. I think another thing that parents should consider, that I would consider, is like the amount of time that you let them spend with the opposite sex. And I say mm-hmm. that you see tons of relationships that they become the main relationship, mm-hmm. and other relationships die, other things die. So for us, for example, like when our kids do experience this, like we'll have a 1/3 rule that's very hard and fast. And like 1/3 of your time will be your family. So if you got a weekend and you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like you can pick one day, you'll be with the significant other. Like you get 1/3 of the time. The other third of the time can go to friends, and the other third of the time goes to family. Like put those boundaries in place, man. So they're like, that's just the way it is. That's the way we do it. You know, I think always explaining the why is important, but like, we're not going to lose other relationships because this relationship right now means a lot. Keep in mind the relationships that you have. Like, we've obviously been in your life for a long time. These other friends have been in your life for a long time. And so I think that's a good rule that you can help your teens and show them kind of like how to manage their time and not go off the deep end with, I'm just spending all this time with one person.
Yeah. What about physical affection? I think this is, you can't really make a rule, but you could help them develop their own conviction about it.
And you got
like hand holding, kissing,
and this is all got to be talked through. Yeah, like we got to talk about why this is important and what I mean. And again, that doesn't mean they're listening, and that doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition. But like, why is it important that like we're not letting you keep the door closed? Because we don't want to give you an opportunity to stumble. Like, if you have enough opportunities to stumble, you will. Mm-hmm. Like, if we present you with those opportunities and let you do it, like if you spend a bunch of time out alone with a significant other in a bed hanging out, like bad things are probably going to happen. And so I think trying to get them to understand like the physical boundaries of what that means, you know, we will definitely, with us, you know, we're going to lean into, you know, we were virgins till our marriage. And that's something that was very, very important to us. She decided it. I decided that's the only reason it worked. If we both didn't have that conviction, I think it would have been very difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been possible. And so, you know, finding someone that's important to, finding someone that's not, you know, it's not all about in your face. Like, you do have space. You're not crossing the line of, you know, listen, I think the line is blurred nowadays too, of what's important and what isn't important. And that's also got to be talked about.
Yeah. Getting back to the world's way of dating versus God's way of dating. And I think when Jennifer and I were back, when we were single and we both worked for a college ministry, it was a very unrealistic idea of dating. What we were taught is your friends, you go on group dates, and then you get engaged and get married. Like there's no like
no
in between. And I think that there has to be an in between. There has to be a courtship. There has to be you can't just go from being friends and only being in group date situations to getting married.
Yeah.
And so, but I think helping the kids develop their own biblical convictions, their own dating standards, and the time to make the dating standards is not when you're laying on the couch together watching a movie. The time to make your dating standards is when you're in the Word, you're in fellowship, you're in prayer, you know.
Make the decisions before they have to be made, yeah. Right? Like make your decision on what you are, who you are, what you stand for before the opportunity presents itself. Because mm-hmm. then you know exactly what your answer is, as opposed to, oh, in this moment, this is my answer. No, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I stand for. I don't drink alcohol. I am not going to drink alcohol. Okay, well, now when I know that, when the opportunity presents itself, it's over. I'm not going to drink alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are...
The decision's been made.
Yeah. Now, I would argue that you could say you want to be a virgin, but if you're going to allow yourself to start to get tempted and do things that are close to that line, like the chances of you be accomplishing your goal are less and less. Like they're not going to be as strong. So, you know, understanding, again, if you just say we keep the door closed, like doors always open, doors always open, doors always open. And there's no why. Like, I don't think they get it. It's just, it's a rule. It's a rugged set of rules that we live by. This is just what we do, how we do, you know, but like we leave the door open. So we don't, you don't have the opportunity to have that, those spaces for physical touch. And so you can stay away from the temptation. You know, I think that's a good thing. I'm not, again, it's just like the music. I'm not saying it's going to work. Like if they want to find it, they'll find it. They'll find it in the back of a car somewhere in a parking lot. Right. Like,
well, I was thinking, the verse that we was the verse of the week, maybe last week on the Tony Financial Services, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I think at some point you have to train them to develop their own biblical convictions. But I think about Jolin. Jolin and he had the same girlfriend all through high school. They went to college together. So they're going to college together. They're in Millageville. Train a child in the way she go. When he's old, he'll not depart from. Like it's going to be 100% his decision,
mm-hmm.
with all of these things that we're talking about. Because they could be in a room together. They could be by themselves. They could do whatever they want to do. They're 18, 19 years old, off at college. But you're trusting that you train them well. You're trusting God. And you're trusting in the character that you've poured into and built into your child.
With the understanding that they're going to screw up.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're with the understanding that the only way they learn is by screwing up. Like, the same stupid things that we had to learn and the same consequences that we had to face, they're going to face. And those are things that are going to hopefully strengthen them. You don't want them to turn away and run away from those things that get hard. So we've got to present some of those opportunities that they can fail now and see a little bit of it. So hopefully they'll succeed. But your kids are going to let you down, man.
If a parent hasn't had these conversations with their children, how would you encourage them to start having these conversations?
I think the question component is always easy. You know, just asking questions of what you think about this, what you think about that. Like, what's important to you? Excuse me, I'm yawning. You're boring me. What's important to you? You know, like...
You're bored with the topic.
No, with you.
This was the topic you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it's just the way you're presenting it. No. But like, what are the...
Do you think a girl, the wife should talk to the girls and the husband should talk to the boys?
No, I think both should talk. Now listen, I think there are some things the man needs to say to the boy, like, or to the man as they get older, and the woman needs to say, but I think they need to hear it from both sides. I think my daughter needs to understand like what men are about, like what guys, what's important to some of these guys, what's how they communicate, how they do this. Like, I think that's an important thing. I think it's also like, I loved when my son had a quote unquote girlfriend when he was 15 years old. And like, I love the communication that he had with his mother. And his mom would just be like, you know, that's not how you talk to a woman. Like, you don't talk to a girl like that. You don't talk to him like it's a friend, you know, and just that back and forth was fantastic because he was learning on the job. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was great. So I think here's the thing that stinks. I wish every couple knew how to communicate, but they don't. I wish every parent knew how to communicate. They don't. That's not a strength of people. Like, some people do not know how to communicate. So you've got to figure out who's the communicator in the household that can get across, that can underreact always underreact, handle questions. Lindsay's better than me. That's a fact. Like, she's better than me at, oh, why would you say that? Why would you do that? Like, I'm a lot more like, you know, I think you should do this because this is why you do it, you know? And so having to understanding that in your household is big. Understanding who can communicate, asking questions if you're not very good at it, of why do you think this is important? Do you think this is important? Like, then you can ask, why do you think this is important? Sharing experiences of why it paid off for you or why it didn't pay off for mm-hmm. you. I did a bad job of X. I did a good job of X. You know, like, those are all things that are really, really important. All of us can do that, I feel like.
I think having keeping an open line of communication, because you want to be the person that they come to talk to about things. And I think you can't overreact Maybe they do mess up, or they do something that surprises you or disappoints you.
Yeah.
But you can't overreact, overrespond. You can't be too judgmental. You have to extend a lot of grace, because you want them to keep coming back to you. But if you respond like over the top,
they're not going to come and ask questions.
They're not going to come back the next time.
And then you miss out on an opportunity that's something really, really big down the road. And I haven't been the best at that. Like, you know, just asking simple questions. Like Nicholas, when I told you with the lyrics, like asking him, like, what do you think? Like, is there a benefit of this? Like, how much more powerful is that than going, Nicholas, it's the stupidest thing ever. It's dumb to listen to those words. Like, they don't do anything for you. It's absolutely dumb. Think about the difference in that approach in one versus the other of, hey, bud, what do you think are the benefits from listening to that? Like, what does that make you feel? Like, does it make you feel a certain way? Like, does it make you feel tough? You know what I'm saying? Like, that, listen, that's with your spouse too, bro. Like, we need to work on something versus you need to work on something. You need to work on something. Ain't never going to work good in your household. But if like, there's something that's important to you and be like, hey babe, you know, can we help do this together? And like, maybe just work on this on the way we're going to communicate with the kids, you know, like that's that you get way more accomplished. But I think, you know, listen, as when they're younger, you can just say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. As they get older, I don't think that's going to suffice. Like, I think you want them to ask questions so you can teach. If you overreact, if you judge, you're not going to get questions asked your way. Mm-hmm. They're not going to come.
I think, you know, we're modeling an example for our kids. So how I treat my wife, I'm modeling for Jesse how her husband is to treat her, and how I treat Jesse. I'm modeling for her how a boy should treat her. I don't know if do you ever take Leah like a father-daughter dance?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, those are great, because you're modeling for them how a boy should treat them with respect and with honor and
by the way, that's your whole walk. That's every day, all day, like the way you treat people, respect.
But the affection you show to your daughter, you're modeling for her an appropriate amount of affection that a boy should treat. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, yeah.
And ultimately, you're the man in Leah's life until you walk her down the aisle and you hand her. I mean, I love the beauty of the wedding ceremony. It's like, okay, I've been the man. I was the man in Julia's life. Her whole life. Like, if she ever needed anything, she would call me.
I'm handing that over to you.
I'm handing it all. Like, I'm handing it over, and he's taking leadership. He's taking responsibility. And it's like, I am now entrusting her to you to love and care for her more than I loved. And, you know, like, you're now responsible. You're going to provide for her. You're going to protect her. You're going to lead her. You're going to cherish her. You're going to honor her. And I think, you know, we model that for our daughters, and then we, you know, that hopefully they're gonna marry someone like we've modeled.
So what are the non-negotiables then that you have to do as a dad? Like, what are those things what are the things you have to say to Jesse? What are those things I have to say to Leah that, like, we have to say to them that they need to hear?
That's a good question. I think God honoring that they are there. I think things about their identity in Christ, that they are valued, that they are loved, that they are cherished, that they are cared for. It's kind of the identity things, like who they are is more important than how they perform. You know, whether that's in grades.
So does that mean you don't tell them they're beautiful
or whatever? Yeah, of course, tell them they're beautiful.
You know, I mean, like, because that's one thing that me and Lindsay have talked about for years. Like, we're just, like, outward appearance doesn't matter to us. So we're not the best at being like, oh, my God, you're beautiful. You know, like, I find opportunities to say it to Leah, but, like, it's just not, like, I tell her all the time. I'm like, Leah, you're always beautiful. Like, but, you know, I'm obviously way more concerned about this and what's in here. I think I love you is a big deal. I just think, mm-hmm. like saying I love you, just telling them you love, like letting them know that you can, I can show my emotion, you can show your emotion, like I want to be able to express that. That's an important part of growing up and mm-hmm. you know, relationships, is being able to express those things. And you know, I love to do it to Leah in the most inopportune times. You know, we were just going through the airport, like, Leah, I love you too. Hush, like, you know, you be quiet. Like, I love to, but I think we need to do that as much as possible. I mean, just so they know we always thinking about it. I love to just, and you mentioned this with your wife last episode, but like, I like to text my kids and just be like, hey, how can I pray for you? Like, I'm thinking about you. I'm about to specifically pray for you. Like, how can I pray for you? Like, I love to do that. I mean, just to let them know. I just text them all the time, I love you. Text them all the time, I'm thinking about you. And, you know, trying to ask the good questions, ask the right questions, show up, show what that consistently looks like, to come beside them and support them in every situation and love them unconditionally and show them grace and those things that you want to translate over to their marriage.
We talk about the five love languages, husband and wife, but the five love languages can apply to your kids as well. Yep. So figuring out what is their love language. So words of affirmation, you mentioned I love you, and words of affirmation, and you're beautiful, and you're loved, and you're cared for, and you know, all the things that they are in Christ, but also quality time.
Yep.
Appropriate physical affection. Like all of those five love languages, we're modeling for them what one day we hope a young man is gonna treat them the same way or even better.
Yeah.
Than we've treated them.
And you don't have to make physical touch weird with your daughter. Like just, you know, putting your hand on her shoulder. Because my daughter's definitely physical touch. Like she likes to wrestle. I mean, mm-hmm. she's just, you know, but like finding ways to put your hand on her shoulder and ask a question, or, you know, slap her hand, you know, just, I think you can accomplish those without being weird, like her sitting yeah. in your lap, or, you know, weird hugs or anything like that. Like it's not, if it's physical touch, it doesn't have to be those other things. You can find other areas.
Yeah. Jesse and I have a little thing where we'll kind of hold pinkies. And it's like, I love you. And I'm just picturing one day when I walk her down the aisle, you know, she wraps her arm around me. We're going to
lock pinkies.
We're going to lock pinkies on that special day.
That's
so
cool.
But yeah, I think, you know, you have unique, kind of like, you know, these basketball players, they have these,
handshakes,
unique handshakes yep. with each other. Like you have unique things. Like each child, you treat every child differently based on their temperament and who they are and their relationship.
They're way different.
They shouldn't all be treated the same. They're all just completely different.
So, no, if you're doing that, I would argue you're doing your kid a disservice. Like there's not a. That's also why parenting sucks and it's really hard, because there's no playbook. Everybody's different. Everybody reacts differently. Everybody's strengths and weaknesses are different. And I think trying to learn them and operate in them, just like you were talking about with love languages and how they respond, is our job. Like it's our job to figure that out. And that doesn't mean you're going to care all the time. You're still going to do things that need to be done, but it is important to understand like how they feel love. That's not a negotiable. Like you need to know that.
I think one of the mistakes I've seen some parents make in the whole dating is pushing a relationship and pushing, like, I think, of course, you push their relationship with Christ, you push their spiritual maturity, you push their education, but you shouldn't be pushing someone into these exclusive dating relationships. You just naturally...
Let them happen.
Naturally let it happen, but don't.
Why would you push them? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Like the whole idea of like inviting the girlfriend to go on like family vacation with your family, like in high school. Like
yeah. That's not something we're going
to
do.
To me, that's just you're pushing it. You mentioned this earlier, but time away is a good thing. So why are we bringing the girlfriend on family vacation? Like I would push back with someone trying to do that. Like you need to, you know, like, and don't rush into those.
I did it with Lindsay. Like I went on family trips with her. Like I went on a family trip with her and her family and stuff, but I wouldn't do it now. Mm-hmm. Like we're not going to bring a significant other probably in high school. I would say that, like, I mean, I've learned never to say never too, like, because, you know, the older they get and the different situations, and not every situation is exactly
I'm
the same.
I'm talking high school, junior high.
Okay, high school, I'm all for. Like,
but like college or older, I could see, hey, we're getting.
We're adults, we're 21.
We're getting close to engagement or whatever. But I think I see some parents pushing these dating relationships a little bit too much.
You think it's because they support them and like the kid, or a lot of times you like them, so you're like, I want that kid around.
Probably.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. I think, you know,
I don't really know. Sometimes the parent likes the kid more than the kid likes the kid. Yeah.
Or their parents, like their parents and the family they come from.
What do you think about arranged marriage?
I'm in. Let's do it.
I think it would simplify things.
It would make things way easier. I mean, listen, I might have to do that with Nicholas because his communication skills are so bad. I might have to end up, hey, bud, just pick that one next door. Like, let's go with this.
Can we work this out? Which is definitely a big topic and something that every parent is going to have to navigate. At some time or another. Yeah.
That's our biggest advice to you. Like,
have a plan and also communicate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and we've joked on this podcast before, but I waited way too long to have the birds and the bees talk with Jolin.
Yeah. He was like, Dad, I'm.
It got real uncomfortable.
I mean, I already know that. So I've already been in. Thanks, Dad. But no, I think have your rules, like the bedrooms, how you're going to handle that, the time spent, the one-third rule for me.
I love that rule.
I like
that's
that.
That's phenomenal.
I like that rule. That's going to be one of our rules. But, you know, just I think monitoring the phone and how they're communicating and helping them, again, pick the spouse that can do it the best way. Lindsay's better than me at that. Like, she's just so much better at being calm and offering advice and telling, you know, that's not how you do it. And I would say they take advice differently from my wife. They don't get as defensive. With me, they get a little bit more defensive. And so she's good at that.
She's more approachable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think she's calm all the time. And so I think it makes it easy. She's better. I mean, I can admit that. Like, last show, you could admit that your wife was more organized than you. I can admit that.
Well, Jennifer is the go-to for the kids to talk to on the dating front.
What are
well.
You the go-to for? Or are you the go-to for anything? Sorry, that might suck for you, but.
Mainly biblical knowledge and spiritual.
So anything biblical is you?
Yeah, typically.
I would say anything biblical, leadership, work ethic, sports is me.
Yeah.
Like, they'll definitely text me and ask. And it's funny to watch the different, because we'll get different text messages during the day, me and Lindsay. And the ones she gets versus the one I get. Like, you know, the celebrations of schoolwork versus other stuff. And I think it's great to have both. I think it's great to have multiple outlets of your parents that hopefully you can get all of it covered and, you know, just keep that open dialogue going. But I think, you know, back to what we were saying, like, have your non-negotiables, have your expectations, have the things that are really, really important to you. And then, I think you'll put them in a position to succeed because you'll help them understand why those rules are those rules. Like, the one-third rule, if I know that, listen, I'm not going to abandon my family. Like, I'm not going to abandon my friends. That's not what relationships are. Like, this, relationships are healthy. Relationships have time apart. All relationships deserve attention. Like, that's a way more abrasive. That's saying that and making that a rule versus going, you just saw him last night. Like, you're not seeing them again. Like, think about the difference in you telling me that and me telling you that. Like, no, you're not seeing them again. You already saw it. Well, why can't I see them again? Well, this is why. Like,
when I think also you're establishing the rule before the person comes into the picture.
Which is so much easier.
Because you're not setting it based on this particular person because you want them to spend time or not spend time with that person. Like, no, this is the rule for everybody, and we know ahead of time.
It's hard to back up. It's hard to back up once you've gotten into something. Once you've given a kid a cell phone, you know, like, it's hard to now take the reins back. But if you give them a cell phone with the parameters and with the rules, you become more successful. If you give them a, you know, this is the rules, this is how we're going to operate relationships, they understand it. It's way more acceptable. Like, if you want to have this, oh yeah, I do want to have this. Okay, well, this is the only way this works. You know, like, and then you get to make decisions as you get older. But this is why we're telling you that this is important to have, you know, separation with and still have friendships, still have family time. Like, so you kind of, you're giving them more information to arm themselves and more thought processes to have instead of just, I know I want to do this. And so I impulsively go do this.
Yeah, well, boundaries are healthy.
In everything.
In every stage of life.